And as a public service now, we have some help for our listener, Bert from Brooklyn.
As a native Californian stranded in Brooklyn at the moment and looking at snow again, Coachella, which was never really one of my favorite spots when I was back home, is starting to look really good. And whoever's on the bill can only enhance the experience.
Coachella is looking really good to Bert from Brooklyn. He's referring to the Coachella Music and Arts Festival, where the headline act in 2010 was this band.
Shouts out to all the Latin community, the whole Latin, Espanol, as I receive my gifts, no winter time. Thank God I'm eating, boy, no dinner time. Rap guy with the
band Lil B, one of the 2010 breakout acts at the last year's Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. The lineup for this year's festival in April actually was revealed yesterday. It's a huge live event. And as we were discussing earlier this morning, as the technology has changed the music business so much, the value of the live experience, whether it's corporate-sponsored concert tours of major acts or these festivals, which are actually a little more popular in the UK than they are in the United States, but still have been a major phenomenon in the United States for really more than a decade now, the live experience grows more valuable. And here to talk about the cultural significance of the Coachella Festival that's coming up in April that you can now buy tickets for, Khalefa Saneh, the New Yorker staff writer and music critic, joins us here in the studio. You brave the snow from Brooklyn?
From Chinatown.
From actually. Chinatown,
not
nice.
Not so bad
nice.
At all.
Not so bad at all. So, first of all, Lil B, that band is emblematic of the kinds of acts that you would see at Coachella?
Well, Lil B actually has never played Coachella. This is going to be his first year playing, but he had a breakout year in the world and especially on the internet in 2010. And it's a good example of someone who's playing Coachella who's really timely. And Coachella, you know, part of the job for all these music festivals is to find a way to sort of set themselves apart. And one of the ways that Coachella does it is by focusing on electronic music and non-rock music. You know, their first year in 1999, you know, they had Beck and Rage Against the Machine and Tool, but they also had a whole bunch of DJs and electronic acts, and that's something you don't see to the same extent at other festivals, and that's one thing that kind of jumped out at this year's lineup. To be honest, there was some grumbling when the lineup came out because it's Kings of Leon and Arcade Fire and The Strokes, and these are bands that have been around and played a lot of festivals. But, you know, if you start digging into the finer print, there's some really interesting acts this year.
I mean, in many ways, it's harder and harder to find the distinction between the breakout sort of, you know, record label, traditional sort of sponsored acts like Kings of Leon and the fines, the great sort of Lollapalooza, to use an archaic music festival of ancient times.
Right.
You know, it's harder to distinguish these.
Yeah, and certainly for, you know, if you're going to Coachella and you wanted to listen to every band on the bill before you got there, it would be pretty easy. You could do it in a few hours on the internet, and that's something that obviously was not true in the 90s. Part of what's tricky for a festival like this is you also have to have enough headliners to really sell tickets. And, you know, in past years, Coachella has had Prince, they've had Paul McCartney, and obviously these are not obscure or underground acts in any sense. So part of the goal for a festival like this is to kind of try and balance it. You have Kanye West on the bill this year, and, you know, depending on the performance, it could be something where everyone comes away talking about it and loving it, or it could be something where everyone says, oh, we're kind of sick of Kanye West by now. So it's tricky to find the right balance.
You know, what makes the perfect festival act? I mean, you'd think that something like a Weezer would be a better festival, more fitting for a huge festival like this than, say, a Madonna act. But what are the things that make someone perfect for the festival stage as opposed to a concert stage?
I think one of the most important things is timeliness. If it's an act or a band that seems like they're having a moment and it seems like the popularity is sort of cresting, as was the case with Arcade Fire a few years ago, that can be really important. I saw Arcade Fire and Weezer actually at the same Coachella, and Arcade Fire was the thing that people kind of really came away talking about, not because the show was somehow bigger or even better, but just because they were a band that was really cresting at that point. And I think this year, you know, Mumford & Sons had a big year in 2010, and I can imagine a lot of people getting excited about their set. And similarly, Robin, who was, you know, the Swedish pop singer who was a mainstream success in America in 1997 and then reemerged in the last few years as kind of more of an indie cult figure, she feels like someone that could have a lot of people galvanized this year.
We're listening to Khalif Hassaneh, who's a New Yorker staff writer and music critic, talking about the Coachella Music and Arts Festival. I love the zealotry that goes with these festivals. The old Dylan at the Newport Folk Festival pulling out an electric guitar and getting booed.
Right.
You're not supposed to do that, man. You sold out. But tell me about the Black Keys here.
Well, the Black Keys are a good example of a kind of meat and potatoes festival band by now. And again, they're a good example of a mixed blessing. If you're doing a festival like this, you'd like to have a band like the Black Keys, because not only do they have a lot of fans, but they have a lot of fans that love going to festivals. On the other hand, a lot of other festivals get them, and if you're trying to set yourself apart from Bonnaroo or from the British festivals, the Black Keys aren't a band that'll ever be considered a Coachella band, quote-unquote.
But this does begin to set you apart here, music like this.
It sure does. This is
Joy Orbison.
Yes, this is Heist Mango by Joy Orbison, and again, they're an example of one of the
DJ inspired acts.
Yeah, yeah. Affiliated with a genre known as dubstep. And again, Coachella's always been really aggressive in booking electronic and dance music acts, and that's something that really does set it apart from other festivals in America.
What's the feel, sort of wandering around the desert? It's in Indio, California.
Yeah, but a lot of these, but a lot of the dance acts and play in tents. And so there's more of a kind of a club feeling when you're playing in a kind of packed, crowded, sort of sweaty tent. That's very different from playing in an open field when the sun is setting.
And the New Yorker pays you to go out and do this?
When I was a pop music critic for the New York Times, they paid me to go out and do it. I'm not sure if I'll be going this year, but you never know.
It's a great junket.
Could be worse.
It could be worse. Khalif Hassaneh, New Yorker staff writer and music critic for The New Yorker, talking about the Coachella Music and Arts Festival in April. The lineup just announced the cultural significance of live music at festivals like this. Khalif, thanks so much.
Sure.
We want to get your suggestions on what your playlist would be if you were booking Coachella. And we actually have a suggestion from a listener, not necessarily about music, but how much we're listening.
I have a suggestion that you devote about half an hour once a week to playing some of these more interesting and controversial messages that we have. And then we can comment on them, and then the next week play those. So there's some interaction between us out here listening to you and you.
Hear, hear, Annette from New Jersey. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Huckaberry. That's what we do here at The Takeaway.